Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to comment on what Tony said. Speaking about where a person's soul goes, I guess most of you pastors know that it more or less comes from us. But the scriptures from the Bible, it yet comes from the Word of God. But I think what we're saying here is what Levi said, that we can't, if a person hang himself, we don't know where that soul goes, you know, we're not judges, but that we can't, I myself, I always try and keep away from saying that this person has gone to heaven. I know that that helps quite a few funerals that commit suicide. And it's hard, but it's scriptural in the Bible, what you can speak about, whether that person goes this way or else, you know. It's scriptural. But I think it's the speaking part is what, like Levi said, we need to be careful with, you know.
I'd like to react a little bit to some of the things that were said here, basically in support. First of all, before I came to Kotzebue, I was in an area that had the highest suicide rate per capita in the United States. And I was handling 5-6 suicides, obvious suicides, and perhaps a few more that were accidents that were, looked like accidents, were actually a suicide where somebody might drive into an open hole. You know, in support of something that was said earlier, each and every one of the suicides was under the influence of alcohol. In my preaching and dealing with those, you know, what could I say? You know, scripture tells us, judge not, lest ye be judged. I can't say that that person went to hell. I can't say that person went to heaven. You know, the only thing I can say is, this is in God's hands. And we put them there and trust in the mercy of God. In relationship, Phil has said earlier, about the contagion of suicides, in one situation, actually after a young boy killed himself, we had to take into protective custody 3 other kids who had the gun, who had the bullets, and who had a boat to do it out the river. The scariest hours in my life. What we say from the pulpit in relation to this is very important, but also what the community says at the time of the funeral. And one of the scariest things to me with these funerals was, and this was not in the Nana region, not in this area, and I'm not sure what happens with a suicide funeral. The community sent these people who committed suicide out in a blaze of glory. A basketball player, basketball prominently displayed on the way to the cemetery. We carry the school banner. Everybody's dressed in there. If I'm a kid looking at that and not feeling really good about myself, but I'm a basketball player, hey, maybe this is the way I get my glory. Maybe I can't get glory, you know, while I'm alive, but, you know, hey, look at the funeral he got. Look at all the respect, you know, and honor he got from the community. And if my mind isn't functioning in the proper way, which is generally what happens in suicide, whether it's under the influence or mental disturbance, and I see that, hey, that's my way to get a glory. Everybody's going to make this really big fuss. What does our community say? And I'm not saying deny burial or anything like that, but what do we permit to happen in the context of the whole funeral, not just the church? You know, again, this isn't an observation from the Nano region, it's an observation from a different region. You know, I haven't seen a suicide funeral here. You know, but I think in our effort to console, which we need to do, you know, but also I think it happens more in relationship to guilt that we may feel after this person has committed suicide. Well, we didn't do a whole heck of a lot, or we didn't do enough, or maybe we did do enough, but we're feeling real guilty. Okay, let's go overboard the other way in honoring him in death. And in doing that, we plant those seeds of, you know, some confused thought, perhaps, as a community, in the minds of other confused people who might then see that as, you know, I've got no glory, I've got no honor, and I don't think much of myself in this life, and maybe something like that will happen to me after I kill myself. Just a couple of observations, you know. Thoroughly agree with the alcohol issue. Because like I said, over a period of 2.5 years, I did something like 15 suicides, every last one under the influence. Yeah.
Thank you, Nelly.
Mr. Chairman, I think in this way, you know, that's why I more or less request a Christian conference be formed by ministerial groups in the city to be a contribution. And that way they'll have prayer together and plan something when there's a disaster, you know, in families. And they can easily come together, like Mary said. I would like to see the Christian conference be formed again and be utilized in many different ways too, rather than alcohol abuse, you know. Maybe to select groups outside of the church to maybe fight the drug and alcohol. Because, like I said, you know, when I started off, you're in a church to preach the word of God, you know. You don't want no any other conflict in what you're trying to bring out to the people. So if from what Nelly says, if this letter is not appropriate, I myself, as Vice Chairman, would recommend that maybe a Christian conference should be formed in our city, so that all the churches could be able to cope with some of the problems that we have in our churches or with our people, with our own people, maybe with our church group.
Thanks, Elmer. I think what we need, probably what we need to do is we're going to have your French church pastors conference again sometime in the future this week. Maybe that would be the way to go. Invite these preachers and during your conference and take a look at this again one more time, see how which way we're going to go with it. That way maybe we could find some way to do it that center around Mrs. L to the we're just not trying to point how you get preached. Maybe we said it in this letter, but it's not. Maybe we could work this out with the pastors. Or if you guys could work it out, the pastors get together and do your conference and work it out and see where we go. Something maybe to start. You have your home.
Yeah. I'm Jonas Wongatillen. I'm not from your region, but I do work with the Manila Alcohol and Drug Program. I work at their Detox and Homeless Program. I'm the coordinator. But I'm from Sabunga, from Northern Shawn Hills region. I think it's a good start that the elders have, you know, recognized the suicide problem that we do have, or we do have here in the state as a whole among our people. And alcohol and drugs is part of the problem. I find that in Sabunga, we used to have 3 suicides of young people a year. Kids even shotting themselves in schoolyards. What Sabunga did is Sabunga has to recognize that we had a problem with alcohol and drugs as a whole. And from there, Sabunga had to find solutions to stop young people from doing away with themselves through hanging, through shutting themselves, all alcohol or drug related. I myself have 7 nephews have committed suicide due to alcohol and drugs. What Sabunga did is they worked through the city council, the tribal council, their health corporation, the women's shelters, and alcohol program. And take the problem themselves as the village and work on the problem themselves until our people recognize that we do have a problem and start working on the alcohol and drug and the suicide ourselves. Our people in Sabunga start getting sober and getting healthier and better. Through 4 areas I find it's good to work. It's to prevention, education, enforcement, and treatment. Prevention is anything that you can start with young people, elders, the people in the middle, to prevent them from experimenting on alcohol and drugs or starting activities like anything, or even practicing or starting our own or practicing our own native values, and then help from the elders. And education is we need to start educating our people the effects of alcohol and drugs. Time to do something about alcohol and drugs instead of just talking about it. Start doing something about it. And treatment, if you do have what Sabunga did is we start, when someone is having a problem in Sabunga with alcohol and drugs, the elders go and talk to that person and tell them that they need to go and seek help. And they go to know for a treatment center. And also, Sabunga started what they call the health council, made by city council, tribal council, someone from the corporation, health aid, the police, VPSOs, from the elders, and start doing activities in our own community and also doing education, inviting people from Nome to come in. And I find that our people are going through a lot of depression. When someone commits suicide, we also need to learn how to overcome that. And enforcement is real big. That means, I just saw in your agenda you have alcohol and drug policy that you're going to be discussing. That is one of the things that Sabunga had to do. They had to let the city council, the tribal council, come with alcohol and drug policy among our own. Anyone that uses alcohol or drugs and is still working for the city or the tribal council, they have to go and take help. Not only that, when a person finishes treatment, when they come home, they have the health council that meet them at the airport and welcome them and have a reception for them in the evening, because you do need support in your own community when someone completes the treatment center, I mean treatment program. Right now, when someone from Chelowick or Kayana go to treatment center here and go home, they don't have any support in their own village. They need support. That's why they go back to drinking again. But I think from these councils, if you write to the alcohol program here and do more on having suicide conferences or alcohol or drug conferences. That's one of the things that our area did in Nome was bring in, there's 15 villages in Northern Sound region. They had conferences on alcohol and drugs. And they planned for the whole region how they're going to work on alcohol and drugs in their own community. that's how Northern Town Health Corporation alcohol program initiated. And I think if the elders write to the Manila Board of Directors and tell them they need more help, they need to do more on prevention activities and education on alcohol and drugs and suicide in this region, and I think they'll respond to the alcohol and drug program because they know how to do alcohol or drug education or to set up suicide or conferences. And I think, and I want to thank you for letting me see my share of what I said. I hope that Minor will help you out. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Wilbur?
My name is Wilbur Johnson. I'm going to tell you about, this is related to this lady right here. Years ago, we had two persons drowned, and they drowned, and then we start digging. And this person here, hey, my buddy, they left me. So this person, he go into his house and hang himself. So we did three graves. And I listened to the pastor who was conducting the funeral. And I understand him, which is not easy to say, but the person who conducting saying he was a good man. The conductor is preaching the best part, and there's a lot of young people listening, saying they went up to heaven. I don't know if it's true or not, but like what Levi tried to explain a while ago, it's not easy to say. I think that you're conducting twice, using the best part and leave the rest, which is true. The message you're supposed to give more, just cut it down and use the best part. I myself, I talk about this before to my friends. Like, if I die, don't lie if you conduct. Tell the people I was that way. I was drinking. Do all kinds of sins. And that way you'll be talking honestly. And I didn't want to hurt your people. I didn't mean to hurt you, but then that's just what I've heard too before on the conducting that I gave. Use the best part and then lay down the what they're supposed to give. So that person today, my friends believe me. So they knew they go up to heaven, and there was young people listening. I just want to bring it up, but then it came to me and then
you want to take a break? Take 15-minute break, talk about it if you want to or whatever, and we'll see how we're going to do this. And let's take a 15-minute break. Washington, D.C. or New York, Sunday on the website.
need to watch, you know. I know that when you give a funeral service, you need to comfort families. And the word should be carefully be spoken, how we comfort families. So I think at that, I'd like to hear more comment for a few more moments, I think, before we go on. We have some people on the agenda here.
Thank you, Elmer.
Yeah.
I'll make this real quick, but I did think of something as we were talking. The state of Alaska does have small suicide prevention grants that a council, either an elders council or a city council or a traditional council, can apply for straight to the state. You don't have to go through any big organization. So what I'll do is pass that information along to Martha and Elmer, and they can get that information to you if you want to share it with your own councils in your own villages. And that money can be used for anything that you consider to be suicide prevention for your own community. It could be activities with kids. It could be anything that your community feels would help kids not consider suicide. So I'll give that information to Martha.
Thank you, Sue. I have to share this while Levi is gone. Telekan Pagnahoni, Subsistent Kuni Mayor Guno Lakato, Telekan Pagtoni Yo Nahoni, Sanilla Kiptit. So maybe if we can get these kind of funds, you know, the group at the Christian Conference could use those funds to be formed. And, you know, I know that you're not gonna be picking anything out of your own pockets, you know, to do whatever you have to do if this group is formed. So, okay, anyone else? Yeah, Millard? Thank you, my lord.
You know, it seems to me like we're dealing with a couple of different things here. If we're dealing with the issue of suicide, you know, certainly the churches are involved in it, but more than dealing with the issue of suicide, certainly the churches are involved in it, and, you know, as you said, and I think as most of us are aware, we need to be careful of what we say in those circumstances from a number of different angles. But beyond the church, or the churches in any individual town, there's a number of other groups that are involved or supportive in suicide prevention. To say that suicide prevention would even fall on, you know, a council of churches here in Kotzebue, I don't think scratches the surface. You know, it does involve the elders, it does involve tribal councils, it involves the whole community. You know, and so I think, first of all, if we're talking about somehow trying to address the issue of suicide, what seems to me is, you know, first of all, it can't be controlled by Kotzebue, but by, you know, the Kotzebue churches meeting together, or, you know, the Kotzebue organizations even meeting together, that isn't going to do a whole lot in Kivalina. It seems like each of the villages or towns need to get, you know, the organizations together involving churches, involving elders, involving the tribal people, involving the mental health people, involving the police, you know, and say, how are we as a community going to address this issue? You know, it's not a global issue, I think, that can be solved, you know, from here, because there are people in the villages that aren't involved in it. And I don't think we can, as, you know, we can dictate that to them. We can encourage them, but we can't dictate it. Yeah. Something needs to be done, and we need to get together in Kotzebue in relationship to the issue of suicide. But again, even in Kotzebue, it's not just an issue of just the churches. It's a lot wider than that in terms of people that have to be involved in confronting that issue.
Thank you, Father. I was going to say, you know, that our denominations are not the same in the structural doctrine. You know, we have different doctrines in each church. We can't set this to a French church doctrine. But, like I recommended, you know, I think the group, if they could meet together, they could maybe form something of a kind that will work to all the churches and maybe be able to speak it, maybe, in a way, to help this prevention. Tātna ati ngicchit agāi jivijivuko ladutinli wawut kanchur chaptiknin pitkotikastut ilyangit tātna pakungo mayulāraktut ilyangit aglan tātnali pitkotikastut ilyagi ibutubu akkubak tātna pitkotiligan kakanangitchuk ita ukakasliksanga uma inyum annak sulka kakanangil yapaktuk faktor rinni kakanangitchuk Tetamak kan namun olah tilanga isu magit lu, pak muat mun olang jawas isu mati kita ikut, aglan it kaki rak saka ikut, ubut tibun nilgu ikut tam ne inyuk nakta nak jawas minyu, umu nak lu, Jesus temani nak tinga kami he had two thieves hanging alongside of each other's. Ilakata na persona ka itkagil lang na ako maikma katpak mo apo Roman mayroon itnakman kagamaliktin na ka at pag mga tulong tikit siya may tikatigi tiga at pagmani tapos mo naklo nikniligilig siya nga ang nasok tila ang alo inyum lalo na ako ni aglanubo ko kanurim niyo ko tila kuptigik kati malawaw na ako dito sa makanok ingmiknik kanuli ugto at sa miknik pinyayak palag siya dami. Aglan kang eksisip na rat kasubata ay yuwak sila. Right, Nelly? Yeah, maybe she'll interpret that.
I think we have an agreement to meet and we'll come up with something and bring to your elder.
Maybe come back. We have quarterly meetings. So maybe after, if there's a group or ever formed, maybe a couple, three of you could come back to us in our next meeting. Would that be okay? We thank you very much for coming today because I think those two gentlemen over there need your help and prayer because they're in worse position than we are. They have to pick up the pieces. Ed, did you have something to say, maybe?
Yeah. I'm Ed Ward. I'm here in Cottage Mill, the police department. So, Paul Milton, the chief of police. It's been a very interesting meeting so far for me. I haven't anybody say anything wrong. Everybody seems to be right. And I really mean that. Everybody's got the best interest of the community at heart. And like everyone said here, I lost track many years ago how many suicides I handled. And there were a few that weren't alcohol related. There were three to be exact, out of hundreds. Literally hundreds. All the rest were in some way, shape, or form connected with alcohol. And I want to just leave out the drug end of it. There were some where there were drugs and alcohol both involved, but the common thread has always been alcohol. On the 4th and 5th of September, as part of our community policing effort, we brought in some people from the International City Managers Association to help us work on some problem identification and work on some problem-solving techniques and basically try to get the problems in cost to be prioritized. The group of people that was here was represented by the police department, Manelik, city council, IRA, Northwest Independent Housing Authority, and a lot of other people, regular citizens from here in Cottonwood. And after 2 days of hashing over the problem, we arrived at the conclusion that the main problem here in Cottonwood was alcohol and other substance-related problems impacting community wellness here in Cottonwood. We came up with a number of strategies for dealing with some of these problems, and I'm going to talk to you about some of those very briefly. And also in the interim, we've come up with an organization, a type of organization, a community policing advisory committee to help steer this process. Community policing is community partnerships and problem solving. Like Jones and everybody else that are here, it takes the entire community to deal with these problems. Traditionally, in the United States and even here, a lot of these problems have been left to the police, and about all we can do is clean up the mess. We can arrest criminals, we can arrest people that violate the law, but it doesn't really do anything to prevent crimes from happening other than temporarily having these people in jail. With community policing, the community gets together and tries to come up with solutions to deal with problems to keep them from happening in the first place. And if they don't happen, we don't end up having to arrest somebody. And if we don't end up having to arrest somebody, there's somebody out there that doesn't end up with a criminal record, somebody that's still got a decent job, somebody that's still an asset to the community that isn't branded as some kind of a criminal or an outcast. Anytime that we can prevent something from happening, we prevent the negative impact that we have on the community by taking this person out. Community policing addresses crime, the fear of crime and disorder, and quality of life issues. Basically what it does is through this process, we try to make the community a better place in which to live, where not only are you safe, but you feel safe. You feel safe walking down the street. You don't feel like you have to keep your door locked all the time. You aren't always wondering who's going to be coming into your house in the middle of the night. If we work together as a community to solve these problems, particularly the ones involving alcohol and drugs, I think we can do this, because alcohol seems to be kind of the common thread here. Community policing is primarily proactive. We use resources of the community, the human resources, the organizations, whatever we have here locally to deal with problems. We try as much as possible to depend on each other more than we do on outside sources. Because we're going to be here, our resources are going to be here. If our local resources get cut off because we do it ourselves, somebody in Washington, D.C., or you know what you're going to do it for. We've come quite a ways in the last month in getting some of these partnerships formed. We've got a number of people working on Neighborhood Watch, and they've made some pretty good progress in getting some of these things taken care of, getting the materials, so forth, so that people can keep an eye on their part of the community to make sure that different types of crimes don't occur and that they don't go unreported. We're setting up, we're in the process of trying to get a police reserve program set up. Basically, citizens working with the police on the road, basically reserve police officers to help deal with some of the problems. In order to help lessen some of the other impacts caused by alcohol and drugs on the young people, we're working with NIHA and the Northwest Intercount Housing Authority and some other people to help set up boys and girls clubs. Come up with alternative activities for kids so that they aren't out vandalizing and drinking and doing drugs. At least we'll have an effect on some of them. One of the big things that I was asked to do was to research borough-wide local options. Do research on the entire borough going dry. And I researched Title IV and other statutes, and essentially a borough is considered a municipality. And under those rules, the process they go through for voting on a local option is the same as any community. And I'll have more information on that at tonight's meeting. We're also in the process of making sure that the roles of this community policing advisory group are well defined, so that everybody is well organized and moving in the right direction. But basically, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the entire community and all the agencies and individuals working together and working in one direction to make that be a better place to live in. To help get rid of the crime and the alcohol and the drugs and basically the misery that it causes, or at least get rid of the negative negative effects of alcohol. But we really need your help and listening to you here tonight was really refreshing. There were a lot of different opinions on how things should be done. But they were all good opinions. They were all good constructive opinions. Nobody was tearing anybody down. Everything that was being done was to help build on something. And that's not always present at the any assistance that you elders can give us, we certainly appreciate. You're welcome at all of our meetings. I realize that a lot of you are not from here in Cottonview, but the problems that we're talking about here are regional problems. They affect all of us. We're all related. And if we all pull together, not just in this community, but in this region, especially through you elders, I think we could really make a big difference. Anything that happens here in Cottonview having to do with dealing with alcohol and drugs, I'm sure affects a lot of you directly in your villages. You know, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of Cottonview kind of being the hub, and if we're doing bad things here, it affects you out there. So your input is really valuable.
Thanks, and kangsi suk nak si ya, by waktu lepas ni nak dapat mungkin punya suk nak ya, kangsi ni ada si, agaklah nuba, apa mula mula ni kan jika at pem, ada award gum, si baik si, tam nuba kote kanga kangsi 2 days, ilau lu guna lu waktu liu, assembly kutu waktat, ilau waktu beli. Sama nak apa kata makpati yang orang asli itu sama ni nenek tu ni kini over dia usuk tak beli cap sing itu tu sama dah nak lambi sih gua dia macam lepas aku tak lihat sabun mako ingat ni tak nak penyer kat angkut je kalau macam tak dalik kayu rau kluj tak nak jauh mungkin nak tu tunggu ina Najimat kayu rawolas tuh, kini asalnya kini mungkin kan nak ketik tamak na, mana tuh nak ikut nete tak na kayu ni raga tuh, mana dia ketik tarungmi, tangga kat kuna huni uangnya ketik tarungmi agak rahuni, lima mana si karok so banyak, makolup kokain lu makol agak alat ketik kat kuna ketik. Tak najis, tak niwa, tak berak tu. Ada mana kami tahu tu rakyat nak kita rumit, tak nali. Inyuk semua orang asal lu, kondisinya tu ni tak najis. Niwa tak nak, buktau tak sih ada tu ko. Apa sudik sekarang siwa, apa sekarang? Jores.
I didn't get it for free, and there's nothing I can do about it changing his mind. I've accepted dollars, $10, just to get rid of it. Because he won't stop if he did, right? Now, what I'm trying to say is we always know who he is. And my question, I guess, is to confirm that we all have. Now that you know why you're doing this and there's hope in how being part of
you can be able to make noise about selling, but that person is selling again. And that's what I wanted to ask. This is the kind of information you'll be appreciating?
Absolutely. And one of the things that happens when the community gets together and decides they're going to do something, they become the majority. Before, they were just one person. You get a bunch of people together, and the bootlegger over there is going to mess with that many people. You get the community together and says, look, we're not going to put up with your nonsense. One or two things going to happen. You're either going to get cut rather quickly, or you're going to quit doing what you're doing. One of the two. But as long as you're dealing with a bunch of individuals in the community, they can easily intimidate one or two people at a time. But they can't scare a whole town. And the other thing is that we'll be working we want to work with the community. We don't want to work on the community. We want to work with the community. The community generally knows better than any of you what's going on. There are a lot of things that you're hidden from. I mean, you know, for obvious reasons. There are a lot of things that people don't want to find out. And there are a lot of good people who don't tell us things because, you know, it involves their relatives. But on the other side of the coin, you get a bunch of community members tell this person, knock it off. And there's a real good possibility that something is going to happen. Where you get a bunch of community members working directly with us to help the community. A bunch of different organizations all concentrating on that same thing. I mean, either stop the activity or get some people out of the picture. You have a real good chance of success. And we're really pretty optimistic about it. It's worked really well in some other places. But we're not interested in what's happening in the other places. We're interested in what takes place here in Cottonview and here in this region. So what we do may not be exactly like they do. We'll probably have to come up with our own way of doing it, us and you. But if we all pull together, we can deal with these problems. We can deal with these people one way or the other.
Over.
I'm part of the committee too that's working on the community police. And tonight we're going to have our meeting of the NAMA board meeting starting at 7 o'clock. And we invite everybody to do all the work for the same thing that we're looking in the 7th grade and top to do and work up with the board to see what we can start to stop most of the alcohol and the drugs that are going up on top of the thing. Tonight at 7, if we have to get a van, call me.
I could help bring rides to Milwaukee. I mean, not Milwaukee, Nana. Okay, anyone else? Paul?
No.
You said it all?
Yeah, it says all. Like Ed, I think this is a real good meeting. And Mildred, if I get your box number later, I can mail you some of those. In Kivalina?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll mail you those this week.
Yeah, Wilbur?
Let me now do a little common theme. Let's see, I'm in city council in Norwich, and I'm a police commissioner. I coordinate our GPO and GPSO, and we've been having problems with that. I know what everybody do. And they always ask public, always make a complaint, either through phone, or you meet them in the street, and they said, council ain't doing nothing. Look, your police commissioner, he ain't doing nothing. But in our meeting, we start telling them, if you want to make a complaint, do it on writing. The complaint you make, I did not see it. If I make a move on the complaint, and then okay, a person will get the bottle for me. If I tell them, I'll give them the money. And that person, bring me the bottle, and I'll call the trooper. Okay, we're going to court. state and learned there, and the person who buy the bottle for me did not appear. That person, where they get the bottle from, will turn around and get me, and I'll be, because I did not see that guy had a bottle, or but this law is getting bad. It's real bad. That's what I almost made it one time, but then the guys are around, and, you know, I'm working against on that. I got a lot of harassment and all that, but thank God I learned how to not get frustrated, and I'm working hard, still working hard on it yet. There's drugs coming through post office. I get the whole general postmaster, Anchorage, and Fairbanks, and we caught a couple, three of them already on the post office. But it's not easy. It's not easy. It's a public fall too. They never tried to make a move. They want the council to do all the work, so everyone could make the complaint, do something about it, but then they never tried to make complaints.
Hopefully the trooper will be there tonight also. Bob Mead has been to just about all of our meetings. So hopefully between you and the trooper and us, help get something worked out for him. So, trooper, I guess he's kind of your main point of contact for the CFO.
Yes, will it be? Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, the vandals working on this too. I provide a place for some DCSOs to back out at my place, parallel. And I begin to think that the reason why my popular was vandalized. So these all kinds of tabs to get to you for doing that work. But I wanted to say, sometimes in the middle of the night, when I'm worried, I'm a single parent, and I'm raising my granddad. Once in a while at night, I would get to see if he was okay. And one of those nights, I got up to take a look out the window, and I saw a truck by the car from where I live. Person pretty high, he wasn't secret about what he thought. And he come out of that building. He's a car vehicle. That confirms what the tenant from that place was saying. He
reason of why. Now I don't. I often worry about this myself. I should hate to make it up on the other tenants by telling you, by squealing on what's going on here, because I should have planned it. But I think after going to your meeting tonight, I may start to be part of my responsibility to help out.
There's almost always a representative there at our meeting. Is that who you're talking about?
Huh?
Are you talking about the housing authority managers?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all, there's so far at every meeting we've had a couple of representatives. So, something to certainly work on. They've been really active.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the same old thing over and over that I talk about in these meetings. Like, our village is one of the smallest villages there is, but it's the biggest, turning us to be the biggest one in the Anglican nation. It's now getting dark, it's really true. And that's pretty bad. But what would the we do all we can to try to help them. But you talk about it, where does it go? It goes to the home. Then you said another story and we're talking again. It goes back to the home again. It's the home. I don't know what is it. Having all your family, all your contacts. The 8-year-old kid that I mean doctor got him out there. And when the relatives went to the school, and we were really about. And we all felt sorry on the rest of it. So what did she do? She turned around and goes back to talk to you the very same day. She said she had a meeting. Well, okay, I said if I was her, I would just threaten her. I think it's more important that I try to do that. I try to make arrangements instead of going to a meeting. How important is this meeting? Why is it important for the about nobody knew? So, like I thought it might be, I don't know if that actually helps to turn down or not, but in that and it's really getting down to, I don't know what, it's the whole thing.
Well, maybe to make it short, go to our meeting tonight, because Trooper will be there. You know, I think this is one of the reasons why we wrote this letter to our ministerial concerns so that something could be started. You know, it's not to put our pastors in a position, but something should start. Like these people here, they're trying to start this community policing so that we could start supporting them with information. We're not going to go up there and start making arrests, but we can do a lot by giving them information. Who's selling or who's furnishing to our kids, you know, things like this. Okay.
It's so hard to try to help people. Maybe I think wrong. I don't know. For instance, there's another thing that is on the drum. We two are meeting, and they're no drum. But their kids are, and the kids are alone. They're big kids, and but then they're I told her, I said, if things get too bad, I'll go with you and your little sister and stay over and stay here. what she did. And they came home and seemed like they were busted up, and you know, that's expected. If you have a bunch of drinks and bones. But I don't know, I couldn't go the other day. She was leaving again for a wedding, both were. And this one kid up there that's real rowdy and drinking was down here going to training and came back drunker than heck. And he was drunker than heck all that afternoon, that night. And I didn't even know the people were out there. They were right in the room. Now, when that happened, the mother got the first entry and started calling the babysitter, a young babysitter, and saying, don't let my son go out. Don't let my son go out. Keep him in. Okay, don't trust the attitude after he doesn't want to get him in trouble. Shut. If it was me, I'd say, you have him coming here again. Maybe I'm just too rough, I don't know. But my grandchildren, you know, and my grandchildren have grief too, but they don't think they don't belong around my house. They don't believe in that. They laugh at me and say, listen, Grandma's out of starting to whine again. So how can you help a village like that now? Some are trying to protect their kids. I guess they seem to think they're protecting them, but they're just shoving them to bigger problems, bigger trouble, is the way I look at it. So, I don't know, you maybe sometimes I don't even understand anything. But I guess I should be divorced. What do you do, Joy?
I can tell you, I have a daughter who's been jailed, and I feel better that she's in jail.
Doesn't it be safe?
I would see my daughter when she gets out. Better than saying my daughter is. One time when she was on probation, she comes in through the door. She was so not to kick her all the way to the house. Nothing up here that common sense wasn't there.
Okay, where are we now? Are we down to the number 4 on the new business? AF and elder speaker selection. I'm a good one. Huh?
Yeah, we're still on this one here, but. Yeah, go.
You're done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
If everybody
thinks
we're done. Okay.
Thanks for coming.
Linda? Linda Zhu?
Thank you.
Thank you.
With your direction and your guidance,
I also think that it's the adult population in our borough that needs to do the work that you asked them to. You asked them to consider something, then we should find out ways to make that happen. I'd like to encourage you to keep that up. I think all of us look forward to your advice and your directives when you do come out and say things. You know you're there with us all the time in many ways. One of the things that I've been asked, or that I've been trained to, way back in 1989, I was trained to do a parenting class called In the Spirit of the Family. It took me about 2 years to figure out what this all meant. And when I finally figured it out, it was just another way of working the UCA program. Another way of presenting it back to the people where it came from in this region. So, and I think it was in 1990 or 91 at a big regional conference of elders that we had here at the school. I spent a day presenting the information to the people in the gym here. I don't know how many were elders at that meeting there. What I'd like to do, and I requested it, is through the Marcus program, is to present it again to the elders, to reach the elders' council first. What I'm asking for 1 day, to spend 1 day with you or with the other elders so that I can talk again about this program. This program talks about family. We heard today different problems that our villages and people have with suicide, with alcohol, with police problems. So this philosophy that we teach in family systems, we should take it to the heart of each person first. When we begin working with individual families first, then we can walk our talk better. We can practice what we teach. We can reach out to help others because we understand what they're going through. Or we can see what they're feeling by feeling what they might be saying with their heart but not with their voice. Or maybe we can look with their eyes and listen to what they're saying with their eyes instead of their mouth. So this program kind of goes over that. Talks about the role of the family member. What is the role of elders in your family, grandparents? What is the role of adults? What is the role? What should we expect from our young adults and our young people? How should we take care of our kids and how should we take care of our younger children from the time they're born to their adults? Another important part of this is to teach about the grieving cycle. Understand why we feel sadness, or why we feel anger, or why we feel hurt, or why we're happy. We talk about emotions around that so that we can understand it only with ourselves first, and then we can begin to reach out to others that are even maybe experiencing. We have a lot of people that are angry today about the effects of alcohol. People just want to stand back and not deal with it. Why, when we look back and we use this grieving cycle as a tool, maybe it was based on something that's not alcohol related. Maybe something happened in school where they were hurt. Maybe somebody else scolded them in the wrong way. Maybe somebody didn't teach them how to make choices. And these are some of the things that we talk about and learn in this parenting class. Another thing that we talk about is the values. We all know them here as our intrinsic values. The way we work, the way we feel, the way we care. And these are things that we talk about so we can strengthen ourselves to help teach them to others that are needed, or that are in need of the values. I find that portion of the training session as a good teacher. searching too for providers from our organization, from our non-native people that come here to work with us. That portion, I think, is important for them to hear and learn about. So we talk about that and how to carry them on to children and onto adults. We also teach in the family system how to make healthy choices and to how to communicate. What's wrong with you? What is bothering you? What is wrong? What do you need? So we begin to teach communication skills in this class. And I think this is important because in our school system, our children and our grandchildren are taught in a different way. They learn the Western values that are way different than our own in our communities and our own families. So when we begin to put these two, how do we bridge these two together so we walk like that poster says, out and walk in two worlds with one spirit? So we talk about that during the training session. I think this training idea is planned for some time in February. And I just wanted to mention a little bit about it now and hope that I'll see you again here. It's normally a 3-day program, but we're going to do it in one day. It should be an older day. And what I'd like at that time from you is if there, I would like to get your input, your ideas on what maybe needs to be strengthened or what needs to be taken out. One of the things that Nana is interested in doing is having this family system brought to all the villages sometime this year so that she can teach it again in the villages and in the community. What I'd also like to do is to train other people to teach this from within Costerview or the region so that everybody will have a resource person in their own village to work with you, to work with our community. And with that, I'll continue working with Elmer and Martha and Mandy. So I think in the spirit of the family has a place. And I think it needs the guidance of the elders here in order to move on. It's one way of providing advice. And it's also, I think, one way of dealing with the problems that we're seeing. Because I think the way we teach it now is just the philosophy of the IR program. We have any questions?
Yes, in our next regional meeting, we're going to take one of them, have one extra day to work with them on the program. So we'll be expecting that on the being in February, sometimes we'll figure out what day will be in February. So just we'll have one extra day of meeting us, and we've got that today will be the first.
Linda, on that extra day that we're going to have with you, so you're going to present your program, what you teach and how you do it and all that, and then when we take that, when we have that extra day, and then maybe we'll have better chance to see which let me try to say that which of those that you teach in the villages, that you will teach in the villages, going to be more useful, and which is not going to be, then maybe we can wait until then, and we'll take it from there. I think your program is, I think it's going to be a good one, and maybe we should look at how we're going to implement this and when, what time of the year. I mean, Martha?
Linda, do you feel that one day would be enough, or would it be better if you had a full 3-day session and had just the time for the spirit of the family and then not worry about other things on our agenda, but just focus on that alone, because it's going to be something that's really
children, we might forget all of it or something like that. I think it's important, and I want to see what you guys feel about the whole 3-day session.
One day being a practical exercise?
One day would be planned, but it's not being just out.
Yeah. If we can swing this into 3 days and take at least or half a day of your 3 days and do the practical exercise amongst our, you know, and being, let's say that we're some problem to the family and see how this gonna. Yeah, that would be good.
Mr. President, Linda, have you been doing this with other groups?
Yes,
younger people than elders? Thing that I'm getting at, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have this, Linda. Is our elders going to be able to catch everything in this workshop?
Yes. And if we
You said that maybe the elders could put a little bit more input in what they're doing.
Yes.
I think this should be the main purpose of that, I think.
Yes.
Because being the elders, being the advisors of different organizations, you know, I don't know, I'm not saying that they're not going to learn from you in a different way, but I'm pretty sure they'll be glad to help you with this, so that maybe we could pass it on to our younger generation.
Is this the first meeting you're going to have with the elders, or is it
last time I met with the elders was at that big conference that they had in 1990?
A couple, 3 years, 4 years ago, yeah.
So
you're gonna come out with your program and say this one works okay, but this one here seems to you know it's not working because of this and that and then right there when we get to that point, then we'll see which way we're going to go with it, and maybe this way it would work. Is this what you want from this?
Yeah, well, I'll just present what I usually do, then you should give me.
Okay, good.
Yeah. What you liked or didn't like about it.
Okay.
So I think that's what I was trying to say too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this 3 days sometimes in, you know, okay.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, when's the budget process in NANA?
Right now we're working on our budget and it should be done by November for the summer.
For
98.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Levi and I requested to NANA Board in Anchorage that we even just our executive board be present during the budget process when it's going for, you know, going through the board. Yeah, when it's being presented to the board. So we hope to have a little bit more money.
Okay, thank you, Linda. Okay, damna nakuginang nakpising te makaku ublumik kay chik patiut pinyasuni ni mani nani ubli dan lat layupta uminga uko optinik lintamik kayong ni dan lang lu da prumu ni li saudi ni nakkang nakuginang nakpising okay, it's okay. Well, Dapto manet evra kang eksimal la bas ni gomi na ga yokari sinu na elixeret sinu ya Break a lal, like we say. Okay, my break, I could break a tit and a few below it.
Okay.
We'll take another 10-minute break. New business, me number 4. Damnalu atle. Elder speaker. AFN elder speaker. Theme Makangnayanak Sot, strengthening our unit through the wisdom of our elders. Elmer?
There's a letter from the AFM. They want a reason, not a reason, to have an elder to speak out, to speak to the audience on the strengthening our unity through the wisdom of our elders.
Okay.
And I'll come along as their chauffeur or driver. Do this, do that. I'll be your hook. So, you guys want to think about it and let me know tomorrow. Which five elders you want to come down there, unless you want to send the executive council down there. Which is Levi, Elmer, your secretary, Mildred, and Tommy, huh? Yes, they're the executive council.
And also, we need to appoint somebody as his secretary tomorrow.
Yes, by tomorrow. Yes, if we could, if we can elect a new secretary. As a matter of fact, the bylaw says it's up to you, Mr. Chairman, to select a secretary within the council.
Okay.
Let me speak a little bit about this. AFM thing. We'll take on a few words.
Go ahead.
Well, what do you think? The junta, or the junta is the plan, what they're trying to do with Sharon Luzka, coordinator foot company, they have a new one, they have a new one.
Okay. Even though you're with the Aboriginal elders, they still pay your. You still pay his fare.
For the Aboriginal elders.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to see if it's in addition to the five, but Borough and NANA pay for the youth and elder, and Borough has decided, they didn't decide who the youth will be yet. And for all the people going down to that elders conference right before the AFN, and those five elders that we have from this council, we'd like the rest of you to participate in that youth and elders conference and then participate in AFN. And it could be anyone, people can decide which of you can go, which of you can volunteer to go at that time. It's in the middle of October. And we could maybe nominate people to go, or we want to, if people are traveling over and over and over, some complaints from the elders will say, how come so-and-so keeps traveling over and over? We want to have a chance to travel too. Another thing somebody will say is, make sure that person could walk. You know, some people need to have somebody with taking care of them the whole time. So if anybody that wants to, from our group, go, and hopefully by tomorrow we'll know which five of you are going and which one of you will be the elder speaker. We need one elder speaker and five. If there's any other organizations that can help you to travel, like for instance the Park Service could send Jonas, or if any other organization can send you, then that would be good. That we will have room for another person to go.
Mr. Chairman, I would think that I think we should select one extra person besides Tommy, because he's a representative with, on that Aboriginal group. He won't be able to attend. If he's in other meetings, he won't be able to attend elders and youth conference. So we should select five from this board and six with Tommy.
Right now, our budget calls for five elders, and anything after five, then we'll have to get funding from NANA, Manila, Borough, KIC, or anything like that. But right now, we have enough to take five.
I think our AFN is what's the name of that AFN theme?
Mm-hmm.
Since it's pertaining to elders, I think we should try to bring much elders as we can. I requested funding for five elders from Kotzebue to our organization, the Borough, NANA, Manilyak, IRA here in Kotzebue, and KIC. Now, KIC is willing to send one, IRA is willing to send one, and NANA is willing to give hotels in the courtyard, which me and Levi discussed as chairman and the vice chairman, that it was too far for our elders being in the courtyard. After being down there during the opening and subsistence summit, we didn't really feel that it was appropriate for our elders to be there because it was too far. There's going to be a lot of moving back and forth for our elders. That's why I mentioned to Elmer that, you know, if it could be done that we either stay in Hilton or Westmark, Fifth Avenue, because both of them are walking distance. And if these elders get tired, then Elmer's going to have to continually move them back and forth all the way to the courtyard from the meeting place. We bore a little bit hardship last year because some of our elders were a little bit disabled, but this year we have people like Janet Barr here, selected people that could walk to the meetings and be able to get in the car without any help. So I don't know. But if that's what Nana wants to donate for our elder to be in the courtyard, then I don't know.
Originally, the elder had been had reservations for elders to stay at the Hilton, and I mentioned that to Charlie, and he mentioned to me that 60% of all the money that goes to the courtyard is going to come back to Nana. So if any way, if we could stay at the courtyard, that money is going to come back to Nana, which means more money for Nana, more money in our dividends.
We shouldn't speak about any money when we go into trips like this. I think this trip is important because we went to Subsistence Summit, and that was important. And this is going to be part of it, that the elders be in unity to give directions during the AFN convention. I think money shouldn't be a subject that we're going to get return if we stay there.
Are you, Elmer, are you, Elmer? What kind of vehicle are you going to have?
Okay, I requested a minivan, so I travel is going to get me a minivan to be taken the elders on. But I still have the six room reserved in the Hilton, which I haven't, I never told him to cut me off. I didn't tell him to just get him to get my name off it yet. So we still have six rooms reserved in the Hilton, but again,
Mr. Chairman, I'd like, I'd like to say again that.
I don't know what to say. Whether it's a wait.
Yeah. Eating.
So right now, I've got six rooms reserved in the Hilton. I got six rooms reserved in the courtyard. Which way do I go?
I'd like to say again and let you know that the eating facilities are not appropriate for our elders. They feed breakfast, but they won't feed lunch. There's no place to eat lunch there.
And Charlie also mentioned that there's a lot of people sitting at the courtyard with a lot of cars, and if people needed help with the shuttle, that could be a problem. But we'll see how everything goes, and if the people that are elected to go, if they would rather stay downtown, then you could stay downtown. But right now, because of Charlie's recommendation and because courtyard is part of Nana, then you know, I would elect to let you guys stay at the courtyard unless you guys decide that the five people that are going, that you guys decide you want to stay somewhere else. But there's vehicles, Elmer's, and some other, some Nana board members, they'll all be at the courtyard too, so there'll be people going back. But it will be up to the five people that decide to go, but right now the recommendation is for the people to stay at the courtyard.
In the past years, you know, there's no dependability in that, you know, in the whole thing, you know, because even some of our guardians, you know, are not able to take care of our people. This is what I thought maybe the elders could be a little bit in better shape, and we should help our elders how, where we put them and how we treat them.
Only five in the little after the world, you only? Yeah. Where is that? Let me see the glass. What can only damn that? Five more, all are on the spot. None of them is what? In the past, they used to send all 11 villages.
Yeah.
And it's discrimination is going now.
I know that the whole Elders Council used to go, but then now, the past couple of years, there's only a few of the elders that could go, not all the representatives from each village.
I think this is some misjudgment on budgeting, because the elders were not asked about these things when this only five members were budgeted. Now we're stuck with that. Now if this elder group decide to go, then where are we going to get the money from? That's why Levi and I requested that our executive board be involved with our budgeting this coming year, especially when it's being approved, discussed by the committees of the NANA board, finance committee.
It is possible we have enough in our budget for five people, but when Alaska Airlines did their special 180 round trip ticket to Anchorage in July, you had to buy them by the end of July, Chickie had all the members given for that. She gave our travel the entire list of the elders. So it might be possible that there are extra tickets. But right now, coming up with the budget, you know, it's too late to make any changes right now with our current budget, you know, at this short notice. But right now there's five, and it's possible that our travel may have listings for everybody. But we don't have those tickets from our travel yet. And the past couple of years, we've been sending five elders to
Elmer?
About the tickets, the $180 or $90 that we requested earlier. Our travel is working on right now to see if we can still get the tickets for each one of you guys. Keep our fingers crossed. I'm going to find out again a little while. I'll take care of what I'll find.
Okay. And then we'll take it from there, see how we're going to, in the morning, tomorrow sometimes, and by tomorrow we need to select a speaker and select a five that needs to go into the AFN.
And also a secretary for your...
Yeah. Oh, Evelyn Ballard. Uh-huh.
He's the new president of Shelburne. So Leonard Douglas, he's the leader and new president of Sumner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he'll be coming to the meeting too. Are you going to take four or so, right? Just for the one day, or is it going to be for the rest of the
day? I don't know.
I think we either need to write a letter to our IRA.